Well, so we talked about, as parents, I want to give my kids the best, and the best is the gospel. We talked about those who have dropped out, in a sense, and it's easy as parents to say, well, that's why I bring them to church. I mean, that's why I chose this church, because of this program that I think will help my kids, or that's why, you know, we come on Wednesday nights, and I am thankful for the input, and we're going to talk tomorrow again about the input, but I'm thankful for the input of children's ministers and Sunday school teachers and all that. But with the Bible as our manual, when I look for verses for Sunday school teachers, I don't find any. What I find is God's instructions to parents. And in fact, what Scripture would say is that you are parents, you're the key people. We need the church, absolutely, 100%. But what Scripture says is that God speaks to me and that you and I are the most effective shepherd. We're going to cover that section now. So if God's heart is for us to raise godly adults, we're not raising children, we're raising adults. So the goal of a parenting is to make adult disciples of Christ. What I find, actually, is that theme is throughout Scripture. So, for example, Genesis 18:19, where God speaks to Abram, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just." Passage you're no doubt familiar with, Deuteronomy 6. "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, and then impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." You know how I know that's directed to parents? No matter how, the most dedicated Sunday school teacher, the most dedicated youth worker is not going to come into your home and put your children to bed and get them up in the morning. The idea here is that we are to parents, we are to talk about them and impress them on our children. We'll be unpacking that tomorrow again. Even the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, "Has not the Lord made a husband and wife one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Why did God bring you together?" Because he was seeking godly offspring. Ephesians 6:4. "Fathers, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the instruction, in the training and instruction of the Lord." You know, if we take the Bible and look big picture, in Genesis, God made a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, and he intended that, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." I want to fill the earth with my image bearers and glory bearers. Did Jesus ever reference that? I would suggest that the Great Commission is very similar. Well, what's he saying? Go into all the world and make disciples. In other words, fill the earth. All the nations are to be filled with people who love me and are part of my kingdom. So to me, the most foundational parenting verse is not Ephesians 6:4. It's not Deuteronomy 6. Those are really helpful. But the most foundational parenting verse, going back to the North Star, is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And so we rightly understand that as a church, we want to send people across the oceans. We want to go in our town. But sometimes we don't connect the dots that I'm also going to make disciples in my home. And so that's... biblically, I want to suggest that parenting is discipleship. Okay, does that make sense? The sociology study actually reinforces this. Here's a couple of studies. Our Dr. Christian Smith's written a whole thick book on his research. Most teenagers and their parents may not realize it, but a lot of research in the sociology of religion suggests that the most important social influence in shaping young people's religious lives is the religious life modeled and taught to them by their parents. Later he says this: parents are huge, absolutely huge, nearly a necessary condition for a child to remain strong in their faith into young adulthood. Without question, the most important pastor a child will ever have in their life is a parent. And he's speaking from a sociological point of view. Now here's a question. You work hard. You've got all these demands on your life. Why would God put this on you? Right? You need help and you delegate away. So somebody's going to help me with Little League, okay? And then maybe I'll send them to school and somebody's going to teach my kids. I delegate that away. But why can't I delegate this away? Why does God put this on me? Here's at least a couple of suggestions I can think of. No one has more influence or time than you. So the best ministry has them for what, 50 hours a year? You have them for 3,000 or more. But a second reason, I think, is that God is actually maturing you in the process. So we have the parenting thing backwards. We think God has given us little children to raise, for us to raise little children. He has, but God has given little children to raise you. You know, I was really spiritual and holy before I got married. And I was even more holy before I had kids. Now, what am I saying? What am I saying is they've exposed what was always there. And so God has given us children to mature us. God has given you, the guy here who is like, my wife dragged me here, I don't even understand this religion stuff. Let me tell you, you know more than your three-year-old. You can teach your three-year-old and stay one step ahead of that child. The teacher always learns more. And so, moms, see those questions where you go, I don't know. That's a prompt to grow. Do you know how many times I've been to a seminar and afterwards it just kind of flooded with information and I'm like, I'm not going to remember that. But when somebody asks me a specific question and I have to go find the answer and then get back to them, that sticks in my mind. That's a way that, and I want to suggest that God gives us children to grow us. So hopefully that puts to death the myth, I can't do this, I need an expert. I bring them to church. We've talked about already, if I create the perfect environment, it'll guarantee that they follow the Lord as a playbook and not a cookbook. I want to encourage you though, and I'll talk a lot more about this tomorrow, but God, if your home is messy, God delights to work in messy situations. God delights to work in that. So, for example, we're going to look in just a minute at Timothy's home. Timothy was a second-generation believer, but Timothy's father was not a Christian. And it says because of that he followed the Lord, and it was his faith of his mother and grandmother. So if you're here and you're a single parent, you need to know there's hope for you. God delights to work in messy situations. So just know that, again, this is not a works program, grace, but grace. So you are God's most influential person, an influential shepherd. I want to cast a quick vision here, and then I want to give you a little time to do some reflection. I've given you some questions there. We're going to spend a few minutes after this, and then tomorrow thinking about how to disciple. Disciple means learner, and that's what you know. That word is used 269 times. In the New Testament. The word Christian's only used three. So disciple, follower, learner of Jesus is used a lot. And the Bible tells us we are to be disciples, but we're also to make disciples. And I want you to think with me, and I know you're here tonight, you're sympathetic, you're taking time out, but then Monday comes, Tuesday comes, and it'll start to press you. So I want you, when you're feeling like tempted to sort of throw away what you've heard, I want you to think about how Jesus made his disciples. So think about what he did. So we know that he did many things for the crowds. He taught them, he healed them, he fed the crowds, healed the sick, he taught the ignorant. Ultimately, obviously, our Savior gave himself on the cross and then rose again. But as he was doing all that, he did something else. He trained 12 men. Actually, not 12, but 70. And that doesn't include the women that he trained. And so he was doing both things at once. So the disciples ate with him, traveled with him. Think about how he discipled. And just as your mind, just listen, think, oh, that's analogous to parents. What did Jesus do? He spent time with them. They were able to see his life. He loved them. They knew he loved them. He communicated with them. He taught them. He encouraged them. He rebuked them. He ministered with them. He lived on a mission. They joined him in that mission. They watched his life. He trained them for a mission. He gave them assignments to do. He, scare quotes here, he neglected them. He sent them out. You go do this. They experienced the joy of God working through them. And after he left, he sent them out to do the same. So what I want to suggest is that parenting our kids is a lot like that. So you have work, you have houses to take care of, you have in-laws, you have responsibilities in your church, all that. Yes, yes, yes. And God's given you little disciples. And you do both. He didn't just hang out with his 12, his 70. He didn't ignore those and serve every. He did both. And so this is not, the Great Commission rightly calls people to leave homes and go overseas, but it's also a command, really, for all of our lives. As you go, make disciples. As you go, make disciples. Make disciples in Fayetteville. Make disciples in your home. Both and. Does that make sense? So this is a mindset that I hope I'll be able to pass on to you. So when you have a child and you're excited, and this is really my heart as a pastor, you're saying, okay, our life is adjusting here. But it's not like, oh, okay, now I don't have to be involved in disciple making anymore. Now it's me and my family. Do you feel that temptation if you're a young parent? I see that in young parents all the time. Okay, that church time, that was good, but that's over because now it's family time. And when my kids are 18, then I'll be back to church time. And your church may not have a problem, but I've seen that in a lot of churches. No, all of our lives is to make disciples, and now let's just figure out how to balance that and weigh that out. And that's why I titled the book the way I did, The Disciple-Making Parent, because that's what I want to suggest, that is that God wants, or the heart is, that we are not just disciples, we are disciple-makers. And so that's part, that should influence our parenting. So let me get you just to take a moment, if you will. Any comments on that before? So I'm going to give you some time to self-reflection. But again, any sort of things that hit you as we were just that last little bit. You are God's most effective shepherd. You can delegate baseball. You can delegate algebra. But you can't delegate this. I mean, what am I going to say to my son? Yeah, a guy's coming over to your birthday party. He's a lot more fun than I am. I'm just going to be on the couch watching TV. No, God's given your son one dad, one mom.